Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And we are now 26 days from the midterm elections. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Welcome to our listeners all across America, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Folks, we have a terrific show lined up for you today. A lot of breaking news information coming our way, and we're going to do our very best to bring it to you. By the way, a little bit later on, Monica Crowley is going to be here. Also, Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis from New York's 11th Congressional District. You know, we've been telling you that we are your spot. This is the place for you to be, noon to 3 Eastern, as we talk about this march to victory on Election Day in November. This is the place. And so we're bringing you a lot of different politicians and lawmakers from some of the key battleground states. Also, our good friend Robert Jeffress is going to drop by. Pastor Jeffress has a brand new book out, and we're going to be talking about that. And also an update on a story we first brought to you on this radio program a few weeks ago about a physician's assistant. She had been working 17 years on the job, and she refused to endorse and affirm these gender mutilation surgeries for children. She was fired. And so we've got a very important update on that case, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, there's a lot of political parlor games being played right now in our nation's capital, and there's a lot of speculation out there about what's really going on with Tulsi Gabbard. And yesterday, Tulsi Gabbard, just moments before the show, of course, announced that she was no longer going to be a Democrat. She was divorcing the donkey. And a lot of people are wondering, okay, what happens next? Well, look, let's listen to Tulsi Gabbard from yesterday.
I can no longer remain in today's Democratic Party that's under the complete control of an elitist cabal of warmongers who are driven by cowardly wokeness, who divide us by racializing every issue and stoking anti-white racism, who actively work to undermine our God-given freedoms that are enshrined in our Constitution, who are hostile to people of faith and spirituality, who demonize the police but protect criminals at the expense of law-abiding Americans, who believe in open borders, who weaponize the national security state to go after their political opponents, and above all, who are dragging us ever closer to nuclear war. Now, I believe in a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people. Unfortunately, today's Democratic Party does not. Instead, it stands for a government that is of, by, and for the powerful elite. Now, I'm calling on my fellow common sense, independent-minded Democrats to join me in leaving the Democratic Party. If you can no longer stomach the direction that the so-called woke Democratic Party ideologues are taking our country, then I invite you to join me.
All right, so there you have it. She laid it all out, and she's had a lot of stuff that I completely agree with. As a matter of fact, when you look at Tulsi Gabbard and her political leanings, there's about 40% maybe of her platform that I would endorse or agree with, but it's the rest of it that's got me going. But a lot of people out there are beginning to speculate that she would make a great running mate for Donald Trump. None other than Greg Gutfeld over at Fox, and Greg's got a massive audience. He was on The Five yesterday, and he made a prediction that this is really what it's all about.
The thing I like about Tulsi is that if she were to give you two opinions, you could not predict a third one. right? She's the definition of an individual. I disagree with her on probably at least 30%, maybe 40% of the things. But the boxes she ticks aren't the boxes that Kamala ticks. Her boxes are achievements and ideas. That's different than skin color and where she was born. And no, not where she was born, but whatever her background is. So I think it's really, I think that's, that is what makes her so different. I've never seen her angry in my life. No. And just lastly, I think she's going to be Trump's VP. So that's where this is going. But I do think when she said the anti-white racism, she said something that most people can't say. And that takes serious, you know, stones to say that, because it is true. I mean, in the Democratic Party, they've made it really clear that, you know, you can be racist against white people because they have it coming.
All right. So there you have it. I don't know where Gutfeld's leanings are. I know what he is on TV, but I don't think he's a raging, you know, what you would consider to be a culture war fighter. I don't think those issues are real big for most of the folks over at Fox. But I will say this, that Gabbard is no social conservative. And so, look, maybe on paper, this might look like a dream team. But I don't know if the culture war conservatives would jump on board something like this. And here's the reason I say that. First of all, when you look at her record, she checks off a lot of boxes. She supports border security. She backs parental rights. Certainly opposes critical race theory. But that's about it. Well, and also she's not real big on these perpetual wars. But there are some big red flags here. First of all, she's pro-abortion. She supports a crackdown on gun ownership. Got an F rating from the NRA. And during her time in Congress, she was a member of the LGBT Equality Caucus. Now, before this election cycle, I would have said those issues would have disqualified her from running as a Republican. But as we now know, that really doesn't matter, because the Republicans are just all about getting people in office with an R behind their names. And there are a good many pro-abortion candidates that are running in this election cycle, and they all have R's behind their name. So my question to you is, what do you think about that? I mean, it's a little bit of a parlor game right now, but do you think Tulsi Gabbard would make a viable vice presidential candidate for Donald Trump? I will throw this out as just pure speculation right now. But if, in fact, that would be the case, I would suspect that Donald Trump might possibly run as an independent. In other words, you could have three campaigns going in 2024, especially with how much the Republican establishment hate this man. Though they hate Donald Trump. So I'm curious to know, you think Gabbard might be a good partner for Donald Trump? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, look, I know you guys don't want to hear this, but I just share this info so when it actually happens, you're not going to be terribly surprised. But next generation Republicans, and I'm talking about millennials and Gen Zers, they are to the left on just about every culture war issue that's out there. And they are the future of the party. So all you people out there who have a problem with, you know, a gay marriage or climate change, you name it, those kinds of issues, that is not the view held by many younger conservatives. I just want to share that information with you, and I don't want you to be surprised. So the question here is whether the lust for power is greater than the devotion to principle. And that's just something we're all going to have to figure out as we meander through these really bizarre election cycles. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, we are also, all this month, we are doing a radiothon for our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. And they are, if you're looking for a place to park some money, maybe you've got to get rid of some money for tax issues, or maybe you have some extra money that you just want to spend, you want to give to somebody. Let me suggest Alliance Defending Freedom. They are doing incredible work in this nation. And I've been urging you to go to toddstearns.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner to make a generous and tax-deductible donation. So again, you're getting bigger bang for the buck here. This tax-deductible donation is worth it in and of itself. But I'm telling you folks right now, there are attacks underway, especially directed at small Christian businesses. Also, college campuses, your children, your grandchildren, constantly under attack by the forces of progressive activists. And ADF, they're defending everybody, and they do it free of charge. And this is why we love ADF. They don't charge a penny. ADF also defends doctors who face real medical tragedies by being forced to comply with policies regarding gender confusion.
A baby died during labor after the hospital wasn't told that the patient, who identified as male, was actually a pregnant woman. We should expect to see other highly avoidable tragedies like this if physicians are forced to turn patients' records into cultural propaganda. There's no medical justification for this dangerous decision by the government. It's the predictable fruit of an ideological tunnel vision that crushes all dissent.
And remember, Alliance Defending Freedom never charges a dime. Their clients just focus on fighting the good fight. They don't have to worry about those big medical bills. So again, I want you to go right now, toddstearns.com. That's toddstearns.com. Click on the ADF banner right there on the front of the website, and you're going to be able to take a stand, and you're going to be able to support a great organization. $20,000. That's our goal, $20,000. I think we can reach that by the end of the month. Your calls coming up next. Illegal drug trafficking has turned our southern border into a war zone. It's a war that no one wants to talk about. That's why I urge you to see Border Battle, the new six-part limited documentary series from Turning Point USA. It exposes the sheer evil and inhumanity of drug cartels and the illegal drug trade. Fentanyl has killed tens of thousands of Americans. It's so dangerous, just 3 grains of fentanyl can kill you. Border Battle reveals how illegal immigration, human trafficking, and America's drug crisis has only been made worse by decades of government neglect. Today's drug cartels are militarized with sophisticated weapons, tanks, and drones that drop explosives on their drug competitors right on our southern border. We've never seen this before in the history of our country. Hear directly from Drug and Border Patrol agents about the horrific conditions along the border and what life is really like on the front lines. Watch Border Battle now. Download the full 6-part documentary series at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. You see, we have the most brilliant listeners in all of talk radio. I mean, you guys get it. What did I say yesterday on this program? She's no conservative, Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, look, I respect her. I mean, she served our great nation, and I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, whatever. You put on the uniform of this nation, you put your life on the line to defend my freedom, then you've got my respect. But that doesn't mean you've got my vote. And it's very clear that Tulsi Gabbard is a liberal, and she is a Bernie Sanders supporter, for crying out loud. Ricky says Tulsi as Trump's VP would be a mistake. She's voted too much with the Democrats. She doesn't have all of what conservatives want. Sean says she'd be a great chief of staff, then VP. And Dorothea says there are too many things the Republicans are down with that make them indistinguishable from the Democrats. Now, that's a good point, Dorothea. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Indiana. Robin on the line. Robin, what say you?
Hi, Todd. I have to agree with you about Tulsi Gabbard. The ultra-mega people, we're not going to stand for it, and I don't see Donald Trump picking her because he would understand that now. All the mistakes in the first term of the people that they told him to pick led to total chaos in the White House, and it wasn't Donald Trump causing the chaos. It was the people that were opposed to his agenda. Tulsi Gabbard has a big following. I mean, so whoever's saying that is thinking that she could bring her voters over, but I don't see it happening. She is not a conservative. She's not ultra MAGA. I do respect her for her service, you know, and I thank her for that. but I can't vote for her, and I don't see very many other MAGA people voting or standing for it.
You see, Robin, I see Tulsi Gabbard as a useful, I don't want to say tool, a useful instrument. It's the enemy of my enemy. That's the concept, the idea here, is that we can use her to go after these Democrats on these radical policies. I got no problem with that. But that doesn't mean we've got to bring her into the fold and make her, and quite frankly, she is to the left of even people like Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney. So, you know, people need to think these things through before chasing after the nice, shiny new object.
Well, I agree with you. Because Donald Trump's second term, we've got to have the people behind him, not just in Congress, but the people on his staff that support him. You know, I think Ivanka and Jared, who are also liberal, are responsible for some of the stupid decisions that were made during Donald Trump's first term. It's his daughter and his son-in-law. I agree with that, but that doesn't mean they have to be a part of his administration.
Look, I don't mind if Trump gets reelected. I don't mind Jared and Ivanka showing up for, you know, Christmas or Hanukkah.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that, but that's the only time I want to see him in that White House. The only time.
That's the only time too. It was a nightmare. I want Donald Trump, and it's not an if, it's when he's going to be reelected. There's people out there right now today. There's rumors again about a discussion with Merrick Garland, which proves that he's on the verge of indicting Trump. And I have to laugh at that because it's always, we got him this time, we got him this time. Donald Trump is not going to get indicted. And if he does, that is because we have a crooked system, and that will spark, that'll unleash some very bad things in this country. And we don't need that.
Well, we don't. I would not be surprised if that happens. That could very well be the October surprise. Still don't know what, you know, the J6 committee is about to have another hearing, a live hearing. Nobody's watching that kind of nonsense. So I don't know if that's going to have any sort of an impact. But, you know, indicting Donald Trump, and you know there's going to be a perp walk, then, yeah, that would be a game changer. But, Robin, even then, I think that it would backfire on the Democrats. And I believe that that would embolden every American citizen, Republican, independent, to get out and vote on Election Day. Robin got to run. Let's go to Georgia. Terry, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hey, Terry, what's up?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
So, first of all, I just want to say I agree with a lot of the points that Robin from Indiana just made. One thing that I would add to that is that with this upcoming election, anything that divides the conservative vote almost assures a Democrat victory. And I go back to 1992 and George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton. And, you know, Ross Perot took about 17% of the vote, and most of that probably would have gone to Bush. And that resulted in a Clinton victory. And, you know, my feeling is that if all of the Republican ticket is not working together, it'll result in a Democrat victory.
You see, here's the, and Terry, you're raising an excellent point here. Now, the good news is we're dealing with midterm elections, so the establishment Republicans really can't sabotage anything. I mean, we're talking about pretty much state by state, district by district. But on a national level, they could sabotage the presidential race by fighting against Donald Trump, and we know they're going to do that. But you're right. We have to have a unified message. And here's my take on it. If, in fact, the Republicans win, and they win big, or even if they win, but especially if they win big, I think the establishment Republicans should stand down and say, if Donald Trump wants it, it's his. Donald Trump, on the other hand, needs to come out pretty quickly and announce his intentions, because if he doesn't want to run, then we need to have plenty of time to vet candidates and get somebody out there who can beat the Democrats.
Well, and I appreciate your logic, Todd. Just the concern I have is there's a lot of power at stake. And my history suggests that people don't really want to give that power up easily.
Well, no doubt about that, Terry. Hey, look, got to run, my friend, but great call. 844-747-8868 to join the conversation. ToddStearns.com if you want to read our stories. We'll be right back, America. There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. Gentlemen, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. However you are listening to us, and one of the great things about our team here, they've set it up so you can watch the show on ToddStearns.com or Rumble, Gatter, YouTube, wherever, or you can listen to us on the radio, which is what I like to do, but I can't actually listen on the radio because I'm, well, technically on the radio, but I'm going down a rabbit hole now. Anyway, all that to say, welcome back to the program. And just a reminder, go to ToddStearns.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. We need your help. And whatever money you give today and for the next couple of weeks will be doubled thanks to a generous donor and supporter of Alliance Defending Freedom. Give $100, it's going to be a $200 gift. Give $1,000, it's going to be $2,000. And again, our goal, $20,000. And we want you, and if you give $20,000, we're going to fly you to Memphis, Tennessee, and put you up at the Peabody and take you out for some good old barbecue. But anyway, head over to the website now and help us out. All right, let's go to the phones real quick here. Martin, listening to us on the Nevada Talk Network. Martin, good to have you with us today. Thanks for listening. What's on your mind?
Well, I've called you before, Todd. They're dumping on that woman, Tulsi Gabbard. And I don't know if she's from Hawaii or where she's from, but she would make a great candidate. Now, she speaks her mind. That's what I noticed about her. She speaks her mind, whether she's a Republican or a Democrat. And Trump himself, I believe, was a Democrat prior to becoming a Republican. So I think they would get along really well. And she's a veteran. She'll get the veteran's vote. I'm a veteran, Vietnam. And I appreciate what she was saying. I don't know about you, but that's what I think.
Yeah, look, Martin, I agree with everything she said. All of the reasons she's leaving the Democrat Party, I agree with. There are just a few more key issues that she should have added to that list, and she would have maybe had my support. Look, Martin, you know, you listen to my radio program, and you know where I stand on some of the key issues, and these are non-negotiable for me. I get it. And you're right. Trump was a Democrat before he was a Republican, and Trump is to the left of a lot of conservatives on some of the key culture issues. But I'm not sure. That being said, that's why he had someone like a Mike Pence on the ticket, not only to balance out the ticket, and it really wasn't so much an issue of balance. It was sort of reassuring the Christian conservatives that you know, they had one of theirs on the ticket.
Right. Well, my point is this, they got this goofy creature, female from California in there now. The point is, this is a very balanced woman, Tulsi Gabbard, and I think as a woman on his ticket, he could stick it in their face then, but he can't do it with the man, the woman, especially her. she speaks her mind, and she would do it again.
No doubt. Hey, Martin, real curious, brand-new polling data came out from Nevada, and it looks like Adam Laxalt is surging in the polls, and he's actually ahead of the Democrat there. What are you hearing around town?
Well, I know what Las Vegas is like. It's full of casino people, and they vote the union ticket, and the union ticket's usually Democrat. It's always Democratic. And so the point is, if that sways the vote, he's going to lose again. Now, I hope that doesn't happen. He's a great guy. He's at Basque, from Basques. And that's his lineage. Anyway, he's great. He has the vote of a lot of people in eastern Nevada. And in around Carson, too. But the point is, they got a lot of votes in Las Vegas that could turn that election to their favor, and whoever's running on the Democratic ticket will win.
All right, Martin. Martin, appreciate the insight there, sir. Good stuff, and we want you to give us a holler back. Martin from Nevada. And we would like to hear from our Nevada listeners. So we got a lot of radio stations out there in that part of the country. According to this polling, the Democrat in the race, Cortez Mastro, her lead among Hispanics has shrunk from 18 points in August to just 7 points now. Something is going on with Hispanic voters, and it's not just in Nevada. This is nationwide, where we are starting to see a shift from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party. So I'd love to hear from you guys in Nevada on that race. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Collierville, Tennessee. Chris hanging out with us on our flagship station, KWAM, the Mighty 990. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, Mr. Starnes, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. Look, I get it. We do want Trump back. I get it, okay? But Tulsi Gabbard will not be the vice presidential candidate. I could see, one of his biggest supporters, Mike Huckabee. I could see Mike Huckabee. I could see Tommy Tuberville. But if we really want to guard, the White House, we need Don Jr. Don Jr. as the vice president. He would take no junk off anybody, and that would be a great thing. But we have a problem within the Republican Party. The Republican Party has problems. Okay, look at District 9, Steve Cohen's district. Here we are coming upon the midterm. Where are the billboards? Kit Cohen out, vote Charlotte Bergman, District 9. Where are all the signs, the billboards, and things like that? But even in the Republican Party, we have problems, okay? We have Tennessee was revealed as one of the states that the census purposely dumbed down the numbers on the census, and yet our state legislature and our senators and our representatives won't even challenge the census numbers. We've got a problem. We should have another district in Tennessee. I did the numbers, and I'm telling you right now, it was at least 850,000 that we gained.
Okay, well, we're not talking about the census right now, but I think in the world of politics, and you raise an interesting point about Tennessee. You have a governor who's running for re-election, Bill Lee. By the way, he hates my guts, by the way. And the only reason why is because we call him out on stuff. I mean, the guy campaigned as a Trump conservative, and he's not. He's actually running the state like a conservative Democrat. He's refusing to get involved in some of these significant races. For example, in Memphis, Tennessee, there was a George Soros district attorney in the race. You did not see the governor coming out and campaigning for the Republican nominee in that race, the incumbent Republican. That's a problem. Chris, just a few days ago, Senator Marsha Blackburn came, and she's actually campaigning for conservative school board members in both Collierville and Germantown, Tennessee. But the governor is nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be heard, Chris.
Right. And, here's my question. Will Tulsi Gabbard, turning Republican, will she take her supporters with her? I really think that she will, because they do support her on the conservative issues that she stands conservative on. So I think that's a gain for the Republican Party. I think her supporters will go with her into and vote Republican, and And I'm really happy for her to walk away from it. Because
yeah, but she's not walking to the Republican Party, Chris. We don't. She's not joining the Republican Party. At least she hasn't said so. I mean, she may, but she's just leaving the Democrats. And look, we welcome everybody, but they've got to ascribe to the party platform. I mean, you got to embrace the party platform. And I don't think she's going to be willing to do that. Keep in mind, she was a Bernie Sanders supporter, big time.
Yeah, well, we'll see what comes of it, but at least the Democrats lost somebody.
There you go. You know what? That's exactly it. We should be taking this as a victory because she just stabbed the Democrat Party right in their big, fat, woke gut. So I say good for Gabbard. Chris, appreciate the call. Great insight. Let's go to Waterloo, Iowa, home of our great affiliate, KXEL. Jackson wants to weigh in. All right, Jackson, what's up?
Todd, just about 2 weeks ago, because this ties in with Tulsi.
Yes.
You said that you could not in your heart be for,
don't worry about the brain freeze. Unfreeze your brain. I'll tell you what I said. I said I could not support a candidate who is pro-abortion.
Right. Right, and he had two abortions.
Okay? Who had two? Wait. Who? A man had two abortions? What are we talking about?
Well, the woman got in trouble. You know, why is it I'm having a hard time with his name?
You're talking about Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker.
All right. Let's reset this, Jackson. So you're talking about Herschel Walker. All right, what's the issue?
Okay, the issue is, yet you have a problem with Tulsi Gabbard, who supports abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
And also, I like Tulsi, like the gentleman said before, who served in Vietnam, that she would make a great, I think she, I'd go as far as to say she'd make a great woman president.
Okay. All right. But what does that have to do with Herschel Walker, though? I'm trying to understand.
Well, okay. Because of the two tie in, you said you do not, and I repeat, support abortion.
That's true.
Yet she's had two abortions, Todd.
No. Let me explain this, Jackson. There is a caveat there, and here's the caveat. He personally did not have the two abortions, but he allegedly paid for one. We don't know whether or not that's true or not. Regardless, this happened before Herschel Walker had a conversion experience to the Christian faith. Since then, and this was back in 2009, Herschel Walker has been pro-life. If we are to believe Herschel, he's turned his life around. We've had no other reports of abortions or other bad behavior. And that's the reason why I still support Herschel Walker. He had a change of heart.
Or could it be just that he has an R in front of it?
No, not at all, Jackson. No, seriously. I raised this issue. You may not have listened because just about every person listening to this radio show called to complain. My issue was if in fact Herschel Walker was out there doing this and it happened after his conversion, I got a problem with that and I would not be able to support him. But that's not what happened.
Right. And I just say that there's the situation though with him, I don't know. I just can't find myself. I'd have to hold my nose to do it.
Yeah,
I really would.
That's, and you know what? I understand that, and you would be able to do that and still not be violating the Republican Party platform because he now opposes abortion. So, Jackson, appreciate the call. And again, the point here, folks, was that Jackson thought I was being a hypocrite. He was trying to call me out and be, but it's not hypocritical. If you have had a religious experience, if you have become a Christian and you have turned away from your old life and you have embraced a new life and you're living by those tenets of that, then you know what? Then you're okay. I'm okay with you. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, they call it the Golden State. But California leads the nation in homelessness and crime while businesses and taxpayers are fleeing. And the woke agenda is so bad, they're pushing for non-citizens to sit on juries and kids as young as 16 to vote. Even liberal Governor Gavin Newsom may run for president. Well, our good friend Rob Schmidt at Newsmax goes to California this week, and he's exposing the madness. All this week, he's in Los Angeles telling the truth about California's dangerous ways and how it could infect America and your state. You got to watch Rob Schmidt tonight on Newsmax, 6 o'clock East, or rather 7 o'clock Eastern time. Millions are tuning into Rob and Newsmax for the news they can trust. You can find Newsmax on all major cable systems, and if they don't carry it, you can call them and demand Newsmax. Millions have made the switch to Newsmax, so tune in. Rob Schmidt tonight. Make the switch to Newsmax. You won't look back. Thanks to you great Americans, MyPillow is an amazing company. And Mike Lindell has an amazing offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillows. You get a standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, only $19.98. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products like MyPillow towels, mattress toppers, My Slippers, so much more. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty so you know it's going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep we not only want but need. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 1-800-839-8506. All you folks in Richmond, Virginia, tune in to WRVA, our great affiliate there. I'll be hanging out with our good buddy Jeff Katz on his show this afternoon. That would be 3:05 Eastern time, so be sure to tune in and take a listen. Let's go to the phones here. Salem, Oregon. Mike listening to us on the great KYKN. Mike, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi, John. You were asking about Tulsi Gabbard.
Yes.
And I understand, you know, my viewpoint, I'm Republican, conservative. I'm not an extremist on the right. I don't have 100%. You have to agree with this issue. Take abortion, for example. And my thought pattern is I think she'd be a great asset if she was chosen to be vice president. She's well grounded. She would pull in a lot of votes to the Republican Party that stay away from the Republican Party because of some people have very extreme 100% right wing viewpoints that other people don't quite.
Mike, what would be a right wing viewpoint in your estimation?
Well, if you took the abortion issue. I think that most common sense people, I don't happen to like abortion, but I understand that, there's times, that it's necessary. There's times that, and people should have women should have a time period, to get an abortion. And then an extremist would say, no, not at all, under no circumstances. Now, when the extremist takes that viewpoint, it makes people stay away from voting for that party because there's no give. And
is there something that is a non-negotiable for you, Mike?
No, I think that that there's got to be some bend in any issue.
Really? Because, I would disagree with you there. I am an extremist on the life issue. And that is my belief. I don't think that makes me an extremist. But if that's your definition, I believe we should have a secure border. And if that makes me an extremist, I, if you want to come to the country, you come here the legal way. You don't cross our borders.
Absolutely. I agree with those issues. What I'm saying, if you focus on what I'm saying, extremism on the left or extremism on the right doesn't get things moving forward because people are dug in and they say, I'm not given an inch. And when you have that attitude, nothing gets done because both people feel the same way and are dug in. And to move the country forward, to have a two-party system that's going to work, you've got to have people that can say, you know, I don't agree with you, but I'm willing to give this so we can function. And we're not a functioning government.
Well, no, we're not.
On the left and right.
But I'm telling you, the Democrat Party believes birthday abortion. That is...
And that's an extremist. I mean,
but again...
I can deal with a six-week decision. I mean, I can deal with that.
All right.
Do I agree with it? No, I don't. So my point is, you've
got about 10 seconds here, Mike. 10 seconds.
You get intelligent people like Tulsi Gabbard, well-grounded, intelligent, willing to negotiate and work, and that's what the country needs.
All right. Mike, appreciate the call. Ladies and gentlemen, do you agree with Mike that we should be, everything should be negotiable? By the way, Joe Biden heading to Oregon to campaign. This is huge. For the first time in 40 years, a Republican could be governor. This is how bad it's getting for the Democrats, folks. 844-747-8868. Hang tight. We're getting to your calls coming up after this break.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. 26 days until we save the nation from the Democrats. The godless, lawless Democrats. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot going on this hour of the program. By the way, new polling data is coming out. Looking very good right now for Republican Adam Laxalt in Nevada, who is now surging against Democrat Senator Cortez Masto. This is a huge, huge pickup for Republicans if Laxalt is able to maintain the leads. According to a Suffolk University poll for USA Today, he trails by just a few points. This is a very, very fluid race. So Laxalt is gaining ground. He is surging. He was down 7 points. So we'll see how that race goes in the next few days leading up to the midterms. Also in Oregon, which is a stunning turn of events, where the Republican there, Christine Drazen, is surging and quite frankly could become the first Republican governor elected in Oregon in 40 years. And it's so bad in the Beaver State that President Biden is gassing up Air Force One, and he's heading over to Oregon to do some campaigning for the Democrat Tina Kotek. So this could be pretty fascinating. I've had a chance to meet Christine Drazen. We were at an event together that was sponsored by KYKN, a very powerful news talk radio station in Oregon, very influential. And we had a good visit. She is rock solid. We've had her on the program, and we'll try to get her back on before Election Day. All that to say, things are looking good, and things are looking good in places we didn't think things would look good. So this could be a red tsunami, provided everybody gets out and votes on Election Day. Now, in the last hour of the program, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about Tulsi Gabbard, whether or not she could possibly be a contender for vice president running with President Trump, a Trump-Gabbard ticket. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Dan in Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening to us on our great affiliate there, Nuga Radio. Dan, what say you?
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Listen, Tulsi Gabbard's a big story, but look, she just made a stand for the truth 36 hours ago or so, and all of a sudden people want to boost her up to VP. I don't think she has a track record to support our side. According to one of your previous callers, she supported Bernie Sanders. You know, if you really want a woman president or vice president. How about Carrie Lake or Marsha Blackburn? These gals really have made a stand, and they've taken a lot of flack for taking the stand. We need solid people. We can't be we can't gamble with the with our future anymore. We need a lot of.
Dan, I think you're raising an important point, and the Republicans, and especially conservatives, have a bad habit of this celebrity-itis. So if a famous person, whether it be a musician, whether it be a movie star, all of a sudden they come out and announce one day that they've converted to the conservative way of life, they automatically become a spokesperson for the conservative movement. Instead of taking time and educating themselves and understanding what it really means to be a conservative. And the Republicans, you know, again, conservatives are guilty of this, and we've got to stop it. I don't think we're ever going to learn from it, but to your point, I think there is something to be said for people like Marsha Blackburn, who I think would make an incredible vice presidential running mate. And of course, she's from the volunteer state, so you can't go wrong there. But there are others out there. You mentioned Carrie Lake again. I'm supporting Carrie Lake. She got the nomination, but she is a fairly new person to the conservative movement as well. And we just have to hope and pray that she lives up to all of the things she's been saying on the campaign trail. But, you know, in the last election cycle, she was a big supporter of Barack Obama. So there you go. Dan, appreciate the call. 844-747-8868. Meanwhile, and we're going to play this audio in just a little bit. It's just shocking. In Pennsylvania, you've got Fetterman, who's out there running for the Senate. The guy's a stroke patient. He has no abilities whatsoever. He can't even formulate conversation. He can't even do small talk. And the Democrats believe he's the best guy they've got to represent them in the U.S. Senate. Democrats are in a world of hurt right now. Let's go to Mississippi. Radio station KWAM, our great flagship station. Brian on the line. Brian, what say you?
Just a question for you, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. Is it not obvious that we've got to get rid of Mitch McConnell? I mean, now he's actually campaigning against conservative congressional, Senate, whatever, in different states, like the woman in Alaska or whatever. He's actually campaigning against her.
Brian, I felt like we should have gotten rid of McConnell a long time ago. And if the Senate is able to flip to the Republican side, and it's looking good, not a guarantee, but it's looking good, I think we have to demand change in leadership. I don't think Kevin McCarthy's the guy in the House of Representatives. I think we need fresh blood. We need proven conservative fighters who are willing to stand up to the Democrats.
We need 100 Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, I hear your sentiment, but ultimately we got to govern. You know, the big problem there with MTG, they never gave her a committee assignment, so she's got a lot of free time on her hands. And Brian, I suspect they may be regretting that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Who do you like?
What do you hear in Kentucky from your either callers or contacts or whatever? I mean, are they just PO'd with McConnell, or? I don't ever hear anybody say anything.
Look, McConnell is, I mean, he's an icon in Kentucky. They keep electing the guy. He's got a lot of power. He wields a lot of power, and he gets a lot done for his home state. You know, Rand Paul, of course, the other senator from Kentucky. It's sort of like night and day. You sit back, Brian, and you're like, what are people thinking there? The same people that put Rand Paul in office put Mitch McConnell in office.
I can't even understand him. He sounds like Paul Gordon Leghorn, and the only thing I can hear is I hate Trump. That's about it.
It.
Like, boo, I hate Trump. You know. So.
No, it's a fair point, but he's got to go. Who would you like? I mean, if you could pick the next Senate Majority Leader, who would that be?
Oh boy, that's tough. Man, I'd really have to think about it, Todd. I really don't have a good answer.
I mean, it could be someone like a Ted Cruz. I mean, it could be a Marsha Blackburn, somebody who has some proven street credibility when it comes to being, you know, a defender of conservative ideas. Those are the first two that come to my mind. I don't know if Rand Paul would do it, but he'd be a good one. So
I think Rand Paul would be excellent. You know, the problem is you go too far with obvious enemies, people that already have a lot of baggage. You know, it's hard to get anything done. not that, you know, there should be any appeasement. And another point, Todd, I think needs to be talked about is, you know, a lot of these guys need to quit doing grandiose, put their name on a bill. We don't need new laws. We need to repeal everything that's been done for the last year and a half.
Brian, completely agree with you there. We've got far too many laws on the books. Try enforcing the ones that are already there and get the government out of our business. That's all we want from our elected leaders. Brian, we got to run.
You hear Newt Gingrich and some of these, you know, talk about the contract with America years ago. I mean, we need a contract with America to quit making new laws and let's repeal everything that Joe Obama's done for the last, you know, 2 years.
I love it. Brian, we'll ask Jim Jordan and the guys about that when we have them on next. I appreciate it. We got to run for a break here. So, Brian, thanks for the call. Great, great comments. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. It's Radiothon time, people. That's right, Radiothon. We are raising money all this month for our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. Head over to the website, toddstearns.com, and click on the ADF banner, and you're going to help us protect freedom and liberty in America. By the way, every donation you make is doubled thanks to a generous donor to Alliance Defending Freedom. So toddstearns.com, by the way, help us out. And our goal, $20,000, and we're well on our way. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. A very disturbing case out of the state of Michigan where a longtime physician's assistant was fired because of her beliefs about gender. Well, our friends at First Liberty Institute got wind of this story. They have now filed a federal lawsuit against Michigan Health. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Kayla Toney, who is with First Liberty. Kayla, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Well, let's first of all give people some background on this story. Tell us about Valerie Klusterman.
Valerie is a wonderful believer. She lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan with her husband and four children. She's an active church member, and she has been a physician's assistant at her local clinic for 17 years. She's actually the third generation in her family to serve her community in healthcare. And she had rave reviews from all her patients and no complaints until August 2021, when University of Michigan, who had just recently taken over her clinic, forced her to undergo diversity training, and she couldn't affirm some of the statements about gender because of her Christian faith. When she brought it up to HR, she was denigrated, insulted, they called her evil, and she was ultimately fired because of her religious beliefs.
So this goes back to the summer of 2021, and this was a mandatory. It was not some sort of a voluntary thing. My understanding is this was a mandatory diversity and inclusion training seminar. Is that right?
That's right. And it was only a small part that focused on gender identity, but the statements that Valerie was asked to affirm, she just couldn't because of her Christian faith. And she thought, you know, she could request an accommodation, and turns out the federal law requires employers to provide a reasonable accommodation, but it turned into sort of an interrogation from HR, and they asked her, well, would you refer patients for gender reassignment surgery or drugs? And she said, well, no, I couldn't participate in that because of my Christian faith. And that's where things really got hostile, even though none of Valerie's patients had ever asked for sex-altering drugs or procedures. This was all hypothetical, but Michigan Health really came after Valerie because of her belief.
Kayla, I'm curious, are you guys seeing more of these kinds of incidents around the country?
I would say that we are. I think it takes courageous believers like Valerie to be willing to stand up when this happens. I think it probably happens more than even we are able to track, but certainly as workplaces are becoming more focused on things like diversity and inclusion, a lot of times that doesn't include religious people. And so we are asking Michigan Health to extend their goals about inclusion to include religious people like Valerie, because there really is room for everyone. There's ways to accommodate everyone's religious beliefs, and that's all she was asking for here.
All right, we have Kayla Toney on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line with First Liberty Institute. Kayla, you guys have filed a federal lawsuit against Michigan Health. What laws did they break?
Well, first of all, the Constitution. So the individuals who decided to insult Ms. Klosterman's religious beliefs and fire her violated the First Amendment, the Free Exercise Clause, and the Free Speech Clause by trying to force her to use pronouns that go against biology. And then the hospital system violated Title VII, which is the federal law that protects employees and requires every employer to provide religious accommodations. But because the hospital refused to do that, they violated Title VII. And then we also have claims under the Michigan Constitution, which has a similar freedom of speech and freedom of religion clause, and a state civil rights statute, which is similar to Title VII. So we have a lot of strong claims that we're bringing on Valerie's behalf, and we're hopeful that the court will recognize the violations here and set them right.
All right. Well, Kayla, we wish you guys the very best of luck, and we want to stay on top of this this story as the case makes its way through the court system. And again, this is an important issue. I think people, just regular folks out there living their lives, trying to practice their faith in the public marketplace, and to be punished for that is simply unacceptable. One final question before we let you go. What is Valerie doing now? She's fired. Has she got another job, or is she still looking for work?
She did. She did find another job at another local clinic, and she's really enjoying serving her patients again. But she does miss her coworkers and her longtime patients from her last clinic. They still ask about her. I think they really miss her as well. So she's hopeful that this lawsuit will help Michigan Health start being more inclusive toward religious employees so that it is somewhere that she would be welcome again.
All right. Kayla, appreciate your great work, and thanks for coming on the program today.
Of course. Thanks for having me. And if listeners are interested, feel free to check out our website at firstliberty.org. to learn more about this case and other cases.
Thank you so much. Very good. Kayla Toney, ladies and gentlemen, First Liberty Institute. And, of course, we've always have those links on our live show blog over at toddstearns.com. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. May I say that you guys, you comic book fans out there, should be giving yourselves a pat on the back. We have this story up at toddstearns.com. It turns out that gay Superman is dead. That's right, gay Superman, ladies and gentlemen. We covered the story when it first came out. The new Man of Steel, whose motto is truth, justice, and the rainbow way, was killed not by kryptonite or Lex Luthor, but by disastrous sales. The gay Superman is the son of Clark Kent and Lois Lane. They made him very woke. So in addition to being gay, and he was involved in a relationship, by the way, which we're talking about an underage gay Superman having a relationship with an older man. And so that brings a whole nother level to all of this. Gay Superman marched for climate change and supported open borders. But it turns out that nobody wanted to read this nonsense, and the sales were so bad, the book bombed, and now we're understanding that they have now canceled Gay Superman. He will no longer be a part of the lineup at DC Comics. But there are still lots of other DC characters that have converted to the LGBT way of life. You still have lesbian Batwoman and, what, bisexual Robin. And Lord only knows what Aquaman is doing with the dolphins. I don't want to talk about it. All right, folks, what's the lesson here? Once you go woke, you won't go broke. This is the Todd Starnes Show. right over to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I don't want to waste a single second. Very honored to have with us one of the top podcast hosts in all of America, a good friend of this program, our good friend Monica Crowley. And by the way, we have a direct link to Monica's podcast on our live show blog. Monica, hope you're doing well these days.
Hi, Todd. It's so great to be with you as always. Thanks so much.
Monica, a lot of stuff I want to talk about with you. And first and foremost is this crazy report coming out that Mayorkas knew all along, he knew that the Border Patrol agents were not whipping illegal alien invaders at the border, and he knew it just a few hours before a press conference where he said absolutely nothing about that. Any surprise there, Monica?
You know, Todd, I saw the story today, and I tweeted it out. Bill Malusian from Fox News was the original reporter on this story breaking it today. I tweeted it out because, first of all the regime does is lie. Not just about this, smearing our brave, courageous, dedicated Border Patrol agents who are struggling against this massive human tsunami of illegal immigration coming across the border and getting no support or backup whatsoever from the federal government. They had no problem smearing these people when at the time they knew it was false. And the way we know it's false is because Malusian reports on a Freedom of Information Act request by, I think it was Tom Fitton's group, who sued for access to this. And they got the email traffic on this. The Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs at the Department of Homeland Security, which, by the way, was my job at Treasury. So this would have been my equal over at DHS. She sent an email to the secretary saying this is flat out false. This is incorrect. It is not true. These Border Patrol agents did not whip these illegal immigrants. And so you'd be telling a falsehood. And yet the secretary of DHS, the president of the United States and others, Kamala Harris and so on, they all went forward with the lie knowing it was false. All of these people do all the time, Todd, is lie.
No, you're right, Monica. This is simply outrageous. And this is the press conference, and people will remember this when I read this quote. This is the press conference where Joe Biden said, I promise you those people will pay. There will be an investigation underway now. There will be consequences. There will be consequences. Monica, these Border Patrol agents were put through hell. And all the while, the Biden administration knew that none of it was true at all. They wanted to use that lie to perpetrate this idea that illegals were being whipped at the border.
That is exactly right, because it fit a narrative. So they took an image, which was not it was a correct image, but it was not the story that was being told. They created a narrative around that image, Todd, and they ran with it. And it tells you everything you need to know about this Biden regime, which is that they do not care about law enforcement. They don't care about the military. They don't care about Border Patrol, except as institutions that they can wokeify. That's all that they care about in terms of those organizations that are designed to keep us and the nation safe. They could care less. And by extension, they could care less about us. All of these illegal immigrants coming into the country, committing murders, bringing in drugs that are killing our people by the hundreds every day. They could care less. Why? Because it's all in service of a much bigger agenda, which is what Obama once called the fundamental transformation of the nation.
And again, Monica, if you know, and we can pray to heaven that the Republicans take control of both the House and the Senate. This guy, Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, needs to be hauled in front of Congress. He needs to be impeached for this behavior. This guy is evil, evil. He knew and he stood there and said nothing and then lied about it. There needs to be some sort of a payback here. And the Republicans, they're going to have to hold every one of these people accountable.
There has to be accountability in every direction, Todd, whether it's the border and this particular case, whether it's on the economy and the fact that they lied to us for 2 years almost about, oh, inflation is going to be just transitory. Don't worry about it. There has to be accountability on COVID and all of the lies that we were told, whether it was from the pharmaceutical companies or from the NIH and Dr. Fauci, the CDC, school lockdowns, general lockdowns, mask wearing, social distancing. They all knew it to be false at the time. And they put this country through a living hell on COVID and the economy, the open border, all of it. There needs to be accountability. I saw Jim Jordan on an interview this morning, Todd, and when he was asked, hey, look, you know, you're going to be head of the Judiciary Committee. What is your priority? And he said, well, number one, the border. So I think to your point, if Jordan has his way, the very first witness is going to be Mayorkas to have to answer for the catastrophe at the border. And then, of course, Jordan talked about the deep corruption at the FBI, the Russia hoax, and all the lies that we were told there.
Monica Crowley on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And Monica, I mean, you look at Brett Baer calling out the CIA intel officer who went public and said that the Hunter Biden Russia info letter was not true. And Brett Baer called the guy out on it. He says, well, if you go back and listen to the exact wording I used, you should have known what I was talking about. These people are evil. I mean, the whole administration is corrupt. They're evil. You've got the FBI, the Durham probe, now finding out that the FBI offered $1 million of our tax money for this this dossier, this phony dossier. Monica, I remember years ago, you were telling us on my radio program back when I was at Fox to be prepared because there were going to be some pretty salacious allegations coming out. And you're right.
I knew it. And, you know, I remember, Todd, back in March of 2017, I remember that day crystal clear because Donald Trump, who was president at the time, brand new, tweeted out that Obama and his team were, quote, wiretapping Trump Tower. And I remember the left going crazy at the time. Oh, what is he talking about? He's nuts. He's making all this up. And Todd, I said publicly and privately at the time, Donald Trump would not have tweeted that if he didn't know something. And from that very beginning, and I remember going on with Sean Hannity in March of 2017 saying, they're not going to stop until they put Donald Trump in prison. They want him in prison in order to fully stop him because he is an existential threat to the entire corrupt ruling class and the regime that is doing so much damage to this country. I said it at the time, I've said it throughout, and I still believe it.
Monica, real quick here, the midterms, we are just days away now, and the thing, you know, again, the polling, we don't put a lot of stock in the polls, but it does give you some sort of an indication. It looks like things are going very well for the Republicans. So much so Biden is flying to Oregon to campaign there. They could have the first Republican governor in Oregon in 40 years. What's your take nationwide on what we can see on Election Day?
Well, the Democrats are so desperate that they think that bringing Joe Biden in is going to help them. Biden last week was in New Jersey and New York, of all places. So that's how grim things are for the Democrats. It does look like the momentum is in favor of the Republicans. The Republicans are focused on the core issues that matter to the voters, which are the economy and crime. The economy, including skyrocketing inflation and gas prices, and of course, catastrophic crime, where nobody feels safe in their communities anymore. Those are the two primary issues. The Democrats know that, but they can't run on those because they created these catastrophes. So the Democrats have doubled down on the issues that are way down voters' priority list, including abortion. And they're just perceived as ignoring American suffering, which they are because the suffering and the cruelty are the point, right? So the Democrats are completely disconnected. They don't care that they are, because they're focused on the bigger project of changing the country. But it does look like they're going to suffer some really big losses on November 8th. But that doesn't mean, Todd, that we can let our guard down. We need all hands on deck. We need everybody voting. We need election observers. We need people on the scene in your community making sure that these elections are clean. So please consider volunteering your time, your expertise, your money, whatever it will take to make sure that the races in your communities are clean and fair.
Well said. And Monica, we've just got to keep preaching that message. Campaign folks, like, you're 20 points down, and let's just pray for a great big miracle on election day. Real quick, Monica, the podcast, the Monica Crowley podcast, what's coming up?
Yes, thank you. Well, today I've got Larry Kudlow, our great friend, President Trump's chief economic advisor. And by the way, if Donald Trump runs and wins again, Larry Kudlow could very well be the nation's Treasury Secretary. He'd be a whole heck of a lot better than the current one we've got, Janet Yellen. So you will hear directly from the horse's mouth today from Larry about the Biden economy, where we are and where we're going. I'm also talking about the real president, that would be Barack Obama, and what he's up to versus the nominal president, or Pino, president in name only, Joe Biden. I do some conversation about that as well, and a couple of other really hot items today on the podcast.
Awesome. Always, always good stuff, Monica Crowley. That would be Pinot Noir. I don't know. It's could be a genre. All right, Monica, as always, appreciate the great work. And folks, we have links to all of Monica's social media pages and, of course, that great podcast over at ToddStearns.com. Thanks, Monica.
I so appreciate it, Todd. Thank you.
All right. And she's absolutely right here, folks. You got to get out there, volunteer, be a poll watcher, do what you can do. Call your local Republican campaign offices, whether it be in small towns or big towns. We need everybody, all hands on deck as we save America. All right, real quick, I want to go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Gray is listening to us on our awesome affiliate in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, WSJS. Gray, what's going on?
Well, I have been able to hear all of the show today. I heard the first part you were talking about, Tulsi Gabbard. As so often happens to middle-aged men who have lots of children and college debt and all of that, I wake up in the middle of the night, I can't get back to sleep. And so I listened to the whole thing that Tulsi Gabbard put out. And I don't know that I've heard a more clearly articulated position on so many things that I care about by anybody, Republican or Democrat. And one thing that you said, and it's kind of what prompted my call, is you said she was a Bernie Sanders supporter. I'm not so sure that that is still true. I certainly do not believe that Bernie Sanders is a Tulsi Gabbard supporter. I don't think he could agree with 80% or 20% of what she said in her presentation. And I was particularly struck by how she defended freedom of speech and people who protest abortion. Now, I would expect that she's a pro-choice person, but I think she might be coming around. And, you know, that we had this really great politician once upon a time who did a lot of great things, who started out as a Democrat and wound up being elected as Ronald Reagan. And so that's what I had to say. So thank you for your show.
Gray, appreciate that. Now, don't hang up just yet, but I will say this. She did endorse him back in 2016, and she defended, you know, it's interesting, they both defended each other many, many times. And maybe it's because, again, Bernie Sanders is an independent. You know, he's not a Democrat. He's an independent. And so there could be something there. Whether or not Bernie Sanders still supports her, I don't know. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard has not joined the Republican Party, and she hasn't said what she plans to do there. She may pull a Bernie and just be an independent. But I think it was a case of the enemy of my enemy. And they all hated Hillary Clinton. We all know the Democrat Party, and that was the untold story of that election cycle, is how the Donna Brazile, who was in DNC leadership, I believe she was the chair of the party, actually gave Hillary the campaign questions or the debate questions. There was a lot of controversy surrounding the Democrat Party's efforts to deep six Bernie Sanders. So it could be something like that. But again, I don't know where Bernie stands now, but it could be that they have that mutual hatred of Hillary.
I think that's exactly possible. I would say this, though. I have not heard – you made the statement that she might be worse than Mitt Romney or Liz Cheney. I haven't heard anybody defend freedom of speech the way she defended it in the 30 minutes that she did in her presentation. I just think that things are working on her, and I'm not saying I'm for vice president, nothing of the sort. I'm not saying I would vote for her. I'm saying – something's changing in her, and she's articulate and she's bright. And, you know, I've always thought that if you're honest and bright, most of the positions that you'll come to conclusions about will make you a conservative.
Well,
you have to have an agenda to have the positions of modern Democrats.
And she's pretty attractive. And, you know, all conservative women are, in fact, good looking. I'm just going to put that out there, Gray.
I have a wife to prove it.
I love it. Gray, we hope you're enjoying the show on WSJS, and we're excited to be broadcasting in that area of North Carolina.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Todd.
All right, give us a holler back one of these days. It's true. Right. It's true, Grace Baker, and you know it. Just conservative gals just look better than the liberal women. Would you rather have high heels or would you have, you know, Mexican man shoes? I mean, let's get real, guys. Oh, we got to take a break here. Jeez, Lou. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Top of the hour news. Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis, who, by the way, is not only just a beautiful person, she's also a fierce warrior. She's a boxer. She does the whole boxing thing. So you don't want to mess with her. And that is actually a skill set that's very important in New York City with all the violence these days. Also, Pastor Robert Jeffress is going to drop by. Real quick, let's go to Connor in Boston, our favorite millennial. Connor, what's going on? You got about a minute and a half.
Oh, I can work with that. I'm going to tell you, I always get excited when Monica is on air. I mean, I always feel energized after listening to some of her great point, you know? So I'm going to tell you right now, I am going to, as always, vote a straight Republican ticket, but I need, when the Republicans do take control, I need them to actually follow through on their promises. I need them to actually hold these Democrats accountable, and I don't want to see them, like, playing, you know, kumbaya with them. I want to see these Democrats, like this Mayorkas guy, I want to see them prosecuted for what they have done to this country. I want to see them punished for what they have done to this country. I want to see them perp-walked in front of all the cameras and put into a real federal prison for the crimes they have committed against this country when it comes to our border. It's inexcusable, and the American people are disgusted by it. One other thing I will say, two other things, and I'll get this in really quick. I would be very careful with Monica using the term Pinot because, you know, she might get Nancy Pelosi a little excited with Pinot Grigio. So I would just not use Pinot. That's the only thing. Nancy loves her alcohol. You know,
allegedly. All right, Connor, we got to leave it there, my friend. Well done and well said. And I completely agree. We give the Republicans control of Congress, there better be daily perp walks coming from the Biden administration. Do you agree or disagree, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, Hour 3, and 26 days until the midterm elections. We are in countdown mode here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show, bringing you the most accurate, the most thorough election coverage across the fruited plain. By the way, I also want to wish a very happy birthday to one of our faithful listeners, the lovely Miss Joyce from North Carolina. Happy birthday to you, and we love all of our great listeners wherever you might be across America. I got a crazy story that dropped in my lap during the commercial break just a few moments ago. And Grace Baker, it's from our neck of the woods, as they say.
The volunteer state?
The volunteer state, but more importantly, Germantown, Tennessee, which is where I reside, where I pay my taxes in Germantown. And it involves the school district there.
Oh, boy.
Which is a local municipal school system. And there was a mom, and she was very upset because her daughter was in the bathroom at the high school. This was Houston High School is where this happened. And I'm always get confused because Houston is in Germantown, not Texas.
This is very true.
It's all very confusing. But anyway, Houston High School in Germantown, Tennessee. I'm going to share this story with you, and I'm curious, moms and dads, we have a lot of listeners in the Memphis area. I'm curious to know if you guys have heard of this kind of a thing happening where a girl was getting ready to walk out of the stall, and there was a boy in the bathroom. Never seen anything like this before in Germantown, Tennessee, but apparently it's a big problem. So the mom sends an email message to the school superintendent and says, "What's wrong with you people? Why is there a boy in the girl's bathroom?" And she goes on to say that her daughter is very uncomfortable. Her daughter is concerned about safety. And she wrote this. There was an email that she wrote to the school district. I have a copy of it. And the exclamation marks were used quite a bit in this thing. And here's what she wrote. She says, "That blue-haired girl," and that's in quotes, it's really a boy, "that blue-haired boy refuses to go to the damn bathroom. Only goes in the boys' room." It's very strange. So anyway, the school superintendent replied and said, "All students, not just your daughter, have legal rights, including but not limited to the right not to be harassed due to their race, religion, ethnicity, national origin, gender, or gender identity. If your daughter is not comfortable with another student that identifies as being female using the same multi-occupancy restroom as your daughter, the aforementioned law provides that your daughter may file with the principal a written request for a reasonable accommodation. If your daughter is under the age of 18, you must file the written request with the principal on behalf of your daughter." And then he goes on to say, "Going forward, I ask that you please refrain from using profanity in your communications that are directed to me." She said the word damn. And apparently that triggered the school superintendent. Now, I'm not going to name names here, but I'm going to say something. A few weeks ago, and we've got a woke school board in my town, Germantown, Tennessee, and there are a couple of people that are leftist. They're leftist. It's unbelievable. One of the guys, the gay chorus teacher who is running for school board, wants to turn every classroom in the district into some sort of a LGBT indoctrination zone. And one of the conservative ladies running, she's come under fire. I mean, they have really bullied this woman, but she's got a backbone of steel. And we've got a local Moms for Liberty chapter, and they're fighting the good fight. So I think we've got people that are standing up and fighting back here. But this woman was castigated because she was alerting people that there's a problem in the school system in Germantown, Tennessee. She said that girls are really concerned when boys come into their bathrooms and their locker rooms. And they completely dismissed this woman. They said it was just a fabrication of her imagination, that this sort of thing was not happening. Well, guess what? We got a smoking gun right now. Because the principal clearly acknowledges, or the superintendent clearly acknowledges in this email that yours truly has a copy of, it clearly indicates that this is in fact going on. So this is not speculation, it's not conjecture, it's not make-believe, it's not fake news. Like you might see on CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. He's from Memphis, too, by the way. This is pretty horrifying that you would have girls. And we cover these stories all over, but when it happens in your own backyard, you're like, what the heck is going on in Germantown, Tennessee? So now we have proof that this conservative candidate for school board was not making any of this stuff up. it's actually going on, that in Germantown, they're letting boys who they're letting boys who identify as girls go into the girls' room, and then they're telling the girls, the biological girls, who might have a problem with a boy in their bathroom facility, that they're the ones with the problem. And that if you're not comfortable, little girl, with a boy in the bathroom or in the locker room, then it's up to you to file a request to get a private bathroom. If I had a child in the Germantown School District, you better believe I'd be at the next school board meeting, and I'd be asking a lot of questions. And you can remedy a lot of this, ladies and gentlemen, and especially our listeners on KWAM. You can remedy this on Election Day by going and voting out these leftists who are currently sitting on the school board. Otherwise, you're going to have a Loudoun County, Virginia situation on your hands before the moms and dads got involved. I'm just saying, this is pretty despicable. Houston High School. You guys should maybe give the Germantown School District a call to find out what the heck is going on there. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile. They're doing some incredible work. As a matter of fact, Patriot Mobile has actually been focusing on these school board races all over the country. And they have been supporting and endorsing candidates who want to restore rights back to mommy and daddy, where they should be. Patriot Mobile is also a supporter of this radio program, and they want to offer you some incredible deals and discounts. PatriotMobile.com/Todd is the website, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. And if you utilize my promo code, which is Todd, you're going to get free activation and a free gift. They have plans to fit any budget. They also have additional discounts if you are a veteran or a first responder. It's super simple. All you have to do, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. You can check out their coverage areas, all of the plans they have, not just, by the way, for your family, but also for your business. Or you could give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use the promo code Todd. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I've got to talk about this insane interview that John Fetterman did with NBC News. Now, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play. This is a bit long, but I want to play this audio for you. NBC News interviewing John Fetterman. He had to actually use a transcription service to understand. So it's not like he was just him and the reporter. He actually had a computer screen, and he was looking at the computer screen, and they were writing out what the reporter was saying. It's bizarre. Take a listen.
Another pivotal Senate race in Pennsylvania, now considered a toss-up. Our Dasha Byrne spoke with Democrat John Fetterman in his first in-person sit-down interview since he suffered a stroke. And Dasha, this was not a typical candidate interview.
No, Lester, because of his stroke, Fetterman's campaign required closed captioning technology for this interview to essentially read our questions as we asked them. And Lester, in small talk before the interview without captioning, it wasn't clear he was understanding our conversation.
Can voters trust that you will be able to do this job on day one?
Yeah, of course.
This is Pennsylvania Democratic Senate candidate John Fetterman's first in-person sit-down interview since a stroke sidelined him from the campaign trail for months.
That auditory processing where I'll hear someone speaking, but sometimes I'll be able to be precise on what exactly that they're saying. I use captioning.
His campaign required that he be allowed to use a transcription program on his computer during our interview.
I always thought I was pretty empathetic, emphatic. I think I was empathetic. That's an example of the stroke, empathetic. Yeah. I always thought I was very empathetic before having a stroke. But now after having that stroke, I really understand,
you know, much more kind of the challenges that Americans have day in and day out.
So you say you're on the road to full recovery, but right now voters really have to take your word for it. We've asked for your medical records. We've asked to have a conversation with someone from your medical team to interview your physician. You've declined those requests. Why?
Well, I feel like we have been very transparent in a lot of different ways. When our doctor has already given a letter saying that I'm able to serve and to be running.
I mean, respectfully, that letter from your physician, that was 6 months ago. Don't voters deserve to know your status now?
Being on in front of thousands and thousands of people and having interviews and getting around all across Pennsylvania, that gives everybody and the voters decide, you know, if they think that it's really the issue.
Polls show Fetterman's lead is shrinking against Republican Dr. Mehmet Oz. It's now a toss-up race that could determine control of the Senate. Republicans focusing on crime, in particular Fetterman's votes on the parole board.
Fetterman says he's trying to get as many criminals out of prison as he can,
including votes in favor of paroling convicted murderers.
Are you soft on crime?
Of course not. I'm actually effective on crime, and I believe in second chances, and I've run on that record.
Meanwhile, Fetterman going after Dr. Oz on abortion rights.
Dr. Oz likes to make fun of me that I might miss a word, but, you know, he's missed, you know, two words, and that is a yes or no on the national abortion ban. If you're going to be our next senator, you have to give the answer.
Lester Fetterman told us he is committed to debating Dr. Oz on October 25th, where he will also be using closed captioning.
Unbelievable. But this is what they're dealing with. This is the best the Democrats have. A stroke survivor who can't have a conversation with a human being. Unbelievable. All right, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. But this is where we are. Oh, by the way, Tulsi Gabbard sitting down with Joe Rogan. And we're going to play some audio here. I will say this. There was another part of this interview where Joe Rogan got freaked out because Gabbard says that we're on the verge of nuclear war. And she says that the American people are not prepared for the nuclear, what's going to happen after the bombs drop. That we're not prepared for the nuclear holocaust that's about to happen. He asked her if she was running for anything as an independent. She says, I'm not running for anything now. I'm deeply, deeply concerned about the real and imminent threat of nuclear war, and no one's talking about it. No one is preparing the American people for that. And she's got a point. And, you know, we have a sponsor of this program, preparewithtodd.com. That's preparewithtodd.com. And it's all about, you know, making sure that you have a supply of food on hand that'll get you through a couple of weeks. I mean, we're talking about beyond that if the bombs drop. And Biden is playing a very dangerous game. Now, here's what's interesting. Tulsi Gabbard says in this interview that what needs to happen is compromise. Russia gets some land. What is you? And by the way, and that is an issue here. What does Ukraine get? The whole point is Ukraine says, this is our nation. This is our country. We have borders. Russia violated those borders. Russia's argument is, this is our land. We want it back. I predict one day we're going to be having that fight along our southern border. When Mexico says, hey, New Mexico, California, Arizona, that used to be our property. We want it back. What are we going to do then? So anyway, she goes on to say in this interview, Rogan asked about how the Democrats really control people. And it's a fascinating response.
Yeah, it's very spooky, and it's spooky how prevalent that mindset is, and how many Democrats, not even just politicians, just people that are Democrats, how many people share that position that you should silence people that you don't agree with. And it's such a foolish perspective, and it plays out historically over and over and over again in a terrible way. And I just don't understand why people don't learn that lesson.
I think that the Democratic Party leaders, people like Hillary Clinton, people who've been in charge for a very long time, foment this kind of culture of fear and like, hey, if you go against us, like, you're dead. You're on the shit list. You have kind of the very loud activists in the who don't represent, I think, even the majority of the Democratic Party, but the AOCs of the world who are almost like these radical religious zealots.
Mm.
And they are ideologues, and whatever they choose is the battle of the day.
Yes.
If you are against them on that, forget it. You're done.
All right. There you go. No surprise there. So we'll see how all that plays out. But I am curious about this whole issue of war. Are you prepared for that? I mean, how do you prepare for that? You know, I sit back and I realize, you know what? I live in a suburban area. I mean, this is the kind of moment where you need to make sure that you have property. You make sure you have a water source that is protected, whether it's your own well. But a lot of people aren't going to be. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard's right. The American people are not prepared for a nuclear war. As a matter of fact, I would say the lights go out for more than 3 or 4 days. You're going to have anarchy on your hands. Can't imagine what it would look like if the power was off for a month. But you do wonder if moms and dads have really raised their kids to be self-sufficient. You know, there was a time when dads would teach their sons how to, I don't change the oil in the car, how to fix things around the house, where moms would teach the daughters how to cook, how to go about canning, how to prepare gardens, storing food up. And those are lost arts in large swaths of the country around. People don't even think about that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, what's dangerous here is that we could end up stumbling our way into a nuclear war. That's the great concern. And keep in mind, we're not at war with anybody, right? Just something to keep in mind as we watch what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Curry, one of the narrators on the Abide app, a premium ad-free biblical meditation experience. Join the millions of people who download the Abide app to reduce stress, improve sleep, and experience the peace of God every day. You can text the word PEACE to 22433 for a 7-day free trial of Abide. Just text PEACE to 22433 and you'll likely hear from me again on the app as I guide you through daily meditations or help you fall asleep and experience the peace of God.
All right, folks, our ADF Radiothon continues. Head over to the website, toddstarns.com, and you can do it any time of the day and click on the ADF banner, Alliance Defending Freedom banner at the top of the page. You'll be able to make a donation. We are raising our goal, $20,000, and it's doable, folks. We're well on our way. Every gift you make will be doubled, thanks to a generous Alliance Defending Freedom supporter. So again, toddstarns.com, and make that donation today. And we'll give you an update tomorrow on how we're doing on the totals. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great friend of this program, has a brand new book out, 18 Minutes with Jesus. You can get it wherever you buy your books. You can get yourself a copy. We have a link to it over on our website, toddstarns.com. The pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Dr. Jeffress, hope you're doing well today.
Oh, I am, and it's great to be back with my favorite host.
Well, congratulations on the book. What is this? No, you've written like 100,000. you're kind of like the Karen Kingsbury of the book writing world.
Put me in a dress, and maybe I can pull it off.
This is an exciting book, and you were teasing us the last time you were on the show. You were teasing us a little bit about this book, giving us a preview. But tell folks what 18 Minutes with Jesus is about.
Well, let me assure everybody, I did not have a near-death experience, go to heaven and talk with Jesus for 18 minutes. That's not what this is. Instead, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with the TED Talks. You know, these are short talks by an expert on a topic of particular interest. But they have to be 18 minutes in length. They can't be any longer. And Todd, I had this idea one day. What if Jesus were to come back and give a TED Talk? What would he say? And then it hit me. We already have Jesus' TED Talk. It's called The Sermon on the Mount. You can read it in 18 minutes. And yet, even though it's brief, it talks about the things we care about our money, our sex life, our how to deal with our enemies, how to make sure of your eternal destiny. So what this book, 18 Minutes with Jesus, is, it's really a fresh look at the Sermon on the Mount and how that sermon still applies to everyday life. In fact, it offers the best way for living.
You talk a lot about straight talk, and especially when it comes to issues of spirituality. Why is that so important today in today's society?
Well, I think it's because the church has really dropped the ball when it comes in teaching what I call radical righteousness. That's what you find throughout the Sermon on the Mount. It's a radical way of living. And unfortunately, Todd, and you battle this every day on your program, the church has become more like the world instead of influencing the world to become more like Jesus Christ. And Jesus had a very clear word in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you're to be salt. You're a preservative in this culture. But if the salt loses its saltiness, it's worthless and to be thrown out. And I think that chapter in 18 Minutes with Jesus, chapter 2, about Jesus' words about salt and light, are the rationale for why Christians ought to get involved in politics. I mean, politics is not going to bring the kingdom of God into earth, but it is going to push back against evil, and we're supposed to be actively doing that. But for salt to do its work, it's got to get out of the salt shaker. It's got to penetrate the culture.
Was there a movement? I've been meaning to ask you this question. It seems like there are a lot of conservative pastors or evangelical pastors, people that you and I know, and they're out there, and really since the Trump presidency, they sort of went on to this, you know, oh, you can't preach about politics from the pulpit. They're against Christian flags in the church house. Mm-hmm. They're against Christians being involved in the political process. And I'm wondering, was there some sort of a movement within seminaries that suddenly everybody's teaching about this, or what led to all of this?
Well, I think there's been an element of it for a long time, but I think it really heightened during the Trump presidency. And just this week here in Dallas, we had a group of progressive pastors who came together to decry what they call a Christian nationalism. And they define Christian nationalism as conservative Christians trying to use the levers of government to impose a Christian worldview on a secular government. Well, you know, that is so hypocritical, Todd, because the fact is these pastors and other progressive pastors, they have their own agenda they're trying to impose on government. It is a pro-abortion, pro-transgenderism, pro-open borders value system, and they don't have any problem with imposing that. They call it social justice. But if conservatives vote their convictions well, then it's Christian nationalism.
And Pastor Jeffers, as our friend David Barton would remind us, when you look at some of the key issues in American history, those key moments, the Civil Rights Movement birthed in the church house. When you look at the founding of the nation, that idea of freedom was birthed in church houses, and Baptist church houses particularly helped raise up that army to fight the British. And there was a very significant time in American history where you would actually have a church service and then go and vote immediately after the church service. So I think there's a pretty good history there of the church being involved in the political, you know, issues of the day.
Yeah, I asked somebody on TV one time who was making that argument that we shouldn't be involved. I said, are you going to go would you tell Martin Luther King Jr., if you see him in heaven, would you tell him he shouldn't have gotten involved in the civil rights movement? He was mixing politics and religion. I mean, it's just so hypocritical. It is only Christian conservatives who aren't supposed to be voting their values.
Dr. Jeffers, on that note, and I want to get back to your book in just a moment here, but I've noticed of late there have been people within the pro-abortion movement and the transgenderism movement that are actually using Bible verses to make their case and their point. Your reaction as a pastor?
Well, Gavin Newsom is the latest example, who has put up billboards, not just in California, but around the country, quoting the words of Jesus to support abortion. And the words he quoted were from Mark when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you know, there are people burning in hell for a lot less than what Gavin Newsom has done in blaspheming the words of Jesus Christ. If he's going to quote Jesus and what he had to say about abortion, the verse he should have put up on the billboard is what Jesus said. It is better for somebody to have a millstone tied around his neck and be cast into the sea than to harm a little child.
Wow. All right. You bring the heat every single time you come on the program, Dr. Jeffress. You don't mince words.
I'm just following you, Todd.
I wouldn't advise that, Dr. Jeffress. Pastor Robert Jeffress on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, an incredible new book. I got a copy a couple of weeks ago. It's a great read, 18 Minutes with Jesus. You know, you look at that sermon and you say and you write that it's just much more than just some sort of a checklist.
Yeah, and you know, people have the wrong idea about the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus in general. They think of Jesus as this little wimpy rabbi who walked around munching birdseed saying nice things to people. That's not the real Jesus. I mean, this Sermon on the Mount is anything but nice. It's radical what he's saying. And he didn't have trouble in the end when he talked at the end of the sermon about people's eternal destiny. He said, narrow is the gate and the way that leads to heaven, and few are those who find it, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. Jesus never said we're all going to hold hands for all eternity and sing kumbaya together. He said there are two destinations, heaven and hell, and more people are going to end up in hell than in heaven. You know, I hear this all the time. Well, Pastor, if Jesus is the only way to be saved, how can you say billions of people are wrong? How can so many people be wrong? Well, Jesus predicted that. He said there's not many ways to heaven. There's one narrow road, and it leads to Jesus himself.
Well, Dr. Jeffress, congratulations on the new book. And folks, get a copy of this. Every time Dr. Jeffress has a book, you just need to go ahead and buy it because you know it's going to be good. And we have links to all of the great websites from Dr. Jeffress and the First Baptist Church listed on our social media pages as well as our live show blog. Dr. Jeffress, congratulations. Always good having you on the show.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. There you go, folks. Pastor Robert Jeffress from the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And I am curious because there is a demographic out there, and they're saying, don't get involved in politics if you're a Christian. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. No, I'm not sure what I don't know what Herschel Walker was talking about. I don't want to speculate, but anyway, hello, welcome back, everybody. So Herschel Walker out on the campaign trail having a conversation about a bull and cow sex, and well, maybe you can figure it out. Cut number six, please.
As they've been saying, yes. Something is better somewhere else, and I'm here to tell you it's not. So I've been telling this little story about this bull out in the field with six cows, and three of them are pregnant.
Pregnant.
So you know he got something going on. But all he cared about is kept his nose against the fence, looking at three other cows that then belonged to him. Now all he had to do is eat grass, but no, he thought something was better somewhere else. So he decided, I want to get over there. So one day he measured that fence up, and he said, I think I can jump this. So that day came where he got back. And he got back, and as he took off running, he dove over that fence, and his belly got cut up under the bottom. But as he made it over on the other side, he shook it off and got so excited about it. And he ran to the top of that hill, but when he got up there, he realized they were bulls too. So what I'm telling you, don't think something is better somewhere else. This is the greatest country in the world today.
Hmm. You know, the best part of that video was Senator Tom Cotton standing off to his side. And the, you know, when you're standing up on the stage and somebody takes a turn and you're not quite sure where they're going with it, your eyeballs kind of, they tell the story. And Senator Cotton was, he was freaking out up there. He didn't know what was going on. So I'm not sure. So what was the point of the story? I don't know. So the staff here, they give me little clues as to what the audio is about. For example, NBC News interviews Fetterman, and he had to use transcription service to understand. Okay, I know what that means. Another says Fox reporting that Mayorkas alerted no sign of whipping at border. Okay, we get that. But on Herschel Walker, where's Grace Baker? On the Herschel Walker cut list.
Yes.
It says Herschel Walker tells the story of a gay bull.
I'm sorry, Todd. That was all producer Kyle, but I didn't stop him.
Oh, you're blaming someone else. Yes. All right. So I don't think the bull had relations with the other bulls. I think the point was he thought they were transgender. I don't know. He thought the bulls were cows.
I thought maybe this was like a story about the grass is greener on the other side. I don't know. Like, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. I don't know.
But in that case, it's almost as if you're telling people just stick with what you got instead of, hey, step out and vote for me. I'm the new.
It seems
to me that Herschel Walker in this story would be the greener grass.
I like producer Kyle's theory. It's about a gay bull.
I don't think that's it. Okay. Folks, all I can tell you is, regardless of whatever's going on down at the barnyard, you guys need to vote for Herschel Walker. So it's Grace.
No bull this election.
My word, help us. I will say this, a lot of people very, very happy with DC Comics and the announcement. And look, this is the thing, folks. Even Warner Brothers is now doing away with this whole diversity division because it's not making any money. Nobody cares about this. So I think people are just sick and tired of being told they should be ashamed because they were born black or white or yellow or purple or green or pink. I don't know. It's just people are saying it's just enough. Just enough. Dr. Phil, I didn't realize he was still on the air, by the way, Grace. Who knew? But Dr. Phil had a big big story on his program talking about people who want to cancel phrases like mom and dad for being offensive. And so he interviewed this woman, and she said that, well, my wife and I have children, and we don't want them to be exposed to people going around saying, who's your daddy? Well, the reality is, somebody had to be the daddy. Somebody had to be the daddy in the relationship, which is why they got the baby. So I don't know who the baby daddy is, but there is a baby daddy there. And if there's not a baby daddy, then you got problems. I'm just saying, Grace, are you okay?
I was just going to say, at that point, we've got a Jurassic Park situation. They're growing something in the labs.
Clearly, I don't get it. But they're saying now that words like mom and dad are examples of heterosexism.
See, but what are you supposed to use in place of that? Just person?
Person or parent one, parent two.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
These are I'm serious here. They're parent one, parent two.
So here's my question. Me, let's just pretend little Grace looking around for her dad is supposed to yell parent one instead of daddy.
But the issue here, and Dr. Phil said, okay, well, fine, I'm okay with, he says, I'm okay with mom and mom or dad and dad. But why is the term mom and dad so offensive? And the issue there is, and the answer is very clear, and nobody really wants to talk about this, they want to destroy mom and dad. They don't want there to be a nuclear family.
Exactly.
And it's really not a nuclear family, it's a biblical family, mommy and daddy. The executive director of the USC Race and Equity Center said it's the heterosexism of it all, and then went on to suggest that the phrase mom and dad is actually not canceled. Well, yeah, it is when you've got a whole show that is focused on canceling Mommy and Daddy. What they need to do is cancel the USC Race and Equity Center. They need to stop squandering tax dollars. What a mess out there. What a mess. By the way, Newsmax reporting on these three Los Angeles City Council members. I wanted to get to this earlier. Three City Council members, they're calling them, the White House says they need to resign over racist remarks. And one of them has, I know we don't have time to get into this, but one of the things that's not in the coverage of this story, these are Hispanic City Council members, and the whole point is that there's a lot of tension between Hispanics and blacks in Los Angeles. And there were some things caught on secret tape, said in private, and one thing led to the other. And so now everybody's all upset. And I mean, it's just horrible things that were said. There's no excuse for that. But the one little nugget that they left out of all the news coverage, the people involved in making the racist comments, ladies and gentlemen, are in fact Democrats. There you go. And now you know the rest of the story. All right, folks, got a busy show tomorrow. Radio Rumble coming up later this week. It's action-packed, folks. Register to vote. Get involved. 26 days till we retake America. Have a great one, everybody.